I think it's probably a fair guess that this season, your household, you as a person, have traditions that are a part of the Christmas season. For some people, it's certain movies that you watch, and every year, just before Christmas, you watch certain movies, or on Christmas Day, or you go do certain things, you gather with family members, you put Christmas lights up. Whatever it is, we have these things that we call traditions that we typically do around the Christmas season as we are celebrating the birth of Christ. One of those things that happens not just here, but it happens really around the world, is this thing that we're going to do in a few minutes together, where we're going to dim the lights in the worship center, we're going to turn off all the lights in the worship center, and there's going to be a single candle that will remain lit, the Christ candle. And then one after another, we'll go ahead and we'll light candles off of each other, and the darkness will just continue to grow brighter and warmer as we continue to light the candles with each other. What I hope that we recognize and focus on this evening is that the first candle, the Christ candle, the initial candle that we use this evening, never loses its flame. Never. It isn't diminished by being shared with all the other candles. Instead, the room grows brighter because the light is passed on. This simple tradition, this simple act of lighting candles together this evening, really, I think it tells the Christmas story maybe better than words can even tell it. God did not send light into the world to be hoarded by you or I, but to be shared by us. And the light that came on that first Christmas night still shines just as bright today. Christmas begins with a really bold statement. John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." This statement, it declares that light has entered darkness. Not symbolically, but literally God stepped into human history through the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah, I think, captures this really well centuries earlier, where it says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The wording is very specific. Walking in darkness. Darkness wasn't and isn't temporary. It was a way of life, and into that condition, God sent his son. Jesus was born quietly. There was no palace. There was no throne. There was no announcement from Rome. Yet heaven knew exactly what was happening. In the passages that have been read earlier tonight, we heard that the angels appeared and that the shepherds were invited. We heard about a star that guided. God was making a statement. The light of the world would not be hidden, even if the world failed to notice it at first. There's something quite interesting about light. You can take a match and go into any dark place. Pick the darkest of dark places. You can go into a cave, take that match and strike it. And that match does not need permission to shine. If you strike the match in a dark cave, the darkness immediately gives way to the light. That's what Christmas announces. Christmas announces that no darkness, no political darkness, no moral darkness, no spiritual darkness, no personal darkness is strong enough to resist the presence of Jesus and the hope of the birth of Jesus. Christmas doesn't stop with the light entering the world, though. It continues as the light shines into our own lives. Perhaps one of the most comforting truths of Christmas is this: Jesus does not avoid dark places. Instead, he invades them. He enters them. The light of Christ is not fragile. It's not timid. It shines boldly into darkness. It shines boldly into sin. It shines boldly into our grief and into our fears and our anxieties. Many people come to Christmas Eve carrying visible and hidden burdens with them. Some here this evening maybe carry guilt from past choices. Others might carry grief over maybe an empty chair that will be seated at the table tomorrow as a result of a broken relationship. Some carry anxiety about tomorrow or about their future. What will it look like? Who will be there? How will the day or my life turn out? Christmas doesn't deny our realities. What Christmas does is it declares that the darkness does not get the final word. That's the hope in Christmas. John reminds us that darkness tried to overcome the light. It tried to reject it through the cross, through the tomb, through putting Christ to death. Yet every attempt failed. The resurrection stands as proof that light always wins. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That promise gives hope. That promise, it's personal for each one of us. Following Jesus doesn't mean darkness disappears from life, but it means that we no longer walk in it alone. And when the light of Christ shines within us, it naturally changes how we live our lives, because light is meant to be reflected. Many of you are familiar with Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and following, where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's interesting that after calling himself the light of the world, Jesus turns to his followers and says, "You are the light of the world." Not because we generate light, but because we reflect his light. So what we know is that light is visible, and it cannot be hidden. When Christ lives in us, his presence should be evident in how we love, in how we forgive, in how we serve, in how we speak. The world doesn't need louder arguments. The world needs brighter reflections of Christ through our lives. We reflect the light of Christ when we show compassion in a harsh world, when we forgive instead of retaliate, when we choose kindness in ordinary moments, when we speak words that build up rather than tear down, when we forgive even when it's undeserved, when we live with integrity even when nobody is watching. We reflect the light when we serve quietly and humbly, when we respond to conflict with grace, when we practice generosity with our time, with our resource, with our talents, with our attention, when we carry hope into discouraging spaces. We reflect the light when we point people to Jesus through both our words and our actions. The Christmas celebration gives us hope as followers of Christ and is really a reminder to each of us that we must live our lives quietly pointing others to Jesus. Let me close with this thought. The light has come. The light has shined within us. The light has shined within us, and because of that, it should be shining through us. This is the ongoing miracle of Christmas. This is the reason for the joy that we celebrate and that we sing about at Christmas, is that Christ, the light, has shined in us and now can shine through us. Lord God, we thank you so much for sending your Son to be born in a simple manger, to live life on earth. We thank you for the hope of what that manger represents. Lord God, we realize that as we are gathered in this place, as we leave this place, as we live our lives, not just tonight, but tomorrow and the months and the years ahead, that the light of Christ is not to be kept with each one of us, but that we are to reflect it, that we are to spread that light. Help us, Lord God, to be intentional about doing just that. We pray this in your name. Amen.